later. Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator. Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator.
Name company?
Yeah, Pranali Patil from IDA Investment. Connect me to Dhanvarsha Fine Waste Conference Call. Dhanvarsha Fine Waste.
The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently waiting. The earnings call for Dhanvarsha Finvest will start shortly. Please stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently waiting. The earnings conference call for Dhanvarsha Finvest will start shortly. Please stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of Dhanvarsha Finvest Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal of Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Dhanvarsha Finvest Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the third quarter of financial year 2022. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Rohanji Juneja, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Karan Desai, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Kukreja, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Parag Shah, Chief Operating Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rohanji Juneja to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Welcome everyone to our fiscal 3Q earnings call. We are pleased to announce strong earnings of 29 million rupees, up from 19 million in the previous quarter. This translates to earnings growth of 17% quarter-over-quarter unannualized and up more than 5.2x year-over-year with a 3.6% ROA. For 9 months of the year, pre-tax earnings are 74.1 million, up 268% from 20.1 million for 9 months of fiscal 2021. Disbursements were 896 million, up from 218 million a year ago, led by MSME gold and business loans backed by a first loss default guarantee. The split of our loan book today comprises 39% in MSME business loans, 37% in gold loans, 11% in loans against property, which is in runoff mode, and 12% in personal loans. Going forward, the focus of the company will be MSME business and gold loans, driven by strong tech distribution and lending as a service for large financiers, which is tremendously profitable and capital efficient on Dhanvarsha's balance sheet. Robust disbursement growth has led to a substantial jump in revenues, which is up 276% year over year, driven predominantly by a 14% quarter over quarter unannualized and 342% year over year rise in interest income. With the current disbursement trajectory, we expect continued strength in revenue growth going forward. Our debt to equity is currently 1.1x with capital adequacy at 47%. In terms of risk management and collections, we have been able to report 100%+ collection efficiency for all 3 months of the quarter, including prepayments, part payments, and early repayment on gold loans. While the loan book has risen 238% year over year to 2.58 billion rupees, more importantly, we had tremendous accretion in customer count who have borrowed from the company, which is up more than 10 times in the last 1 year to almost 24,000 plus borrowers. It is noteworthy that our highly awaited digital asset in Dhanvarsha Technologies, MoneyRabbit, was launched in the last week of December, and we have seen more than 368,000 downloads with more than 65,000 active customers on the platform. We think it's important to spend some time on this call spelling out three large strategic initiatives that the company is pursuing with increasing vigor going forward as we move towards our target of acquiring and servicing several million customers over the next few years. One is co-lending partnerships with large lenders, what we call lending as a service, for which the company has already tied up with Central Bank of India and Easy Capital and will soon potentially be tying up with a few other large lenders. This is extremely accretive since it's a high IRR product for the company that will generate robust earnings growth in future quarters. Number two is our substantial scale up in digital muscle and data science along with the launch of MoneyRabbit. This will be a game changer for us in the MSME space, where we expect significant customer acquisition and data intelligence in future periods. Number three is robust risk management and internal control, which is key for maintaining superior risk-adjusted margins with sturdy asset quality. Let us start with lending as a service. Lending as a service are partnerships where Dhanvarsha is the minority capital provider of 5 to 20% with a large lender that provides 80 to 95% of the loan amount to borrowers for MSME gold and business loans. Dhanvarsha does the entire sourcing, servicing and collection on these loans and generates economics on 100% of the loan value. This makes our balance sheet extremely capital efficient with a healthy mix of on and off balance sheet AUM, thereby enhancing profitability. In August 2021, we tied up with Central Bank of India for a large 10 billion rupee co-lending partnership in MSME gold loans, where they hold 80% of the loans on their balance sheet, while Dhanvarsha will retain 20%. There is a predetermined hurdle rate that Dhanvarsha gives Central Bank of India for its 80% lending share. Dhanvarsha gets to keep everything in excess of the hurdle rate on Central Bank of India's 80% contribution, while we also retain 100% of the economics on our 20% lending share. Similar to Central Bank of India, we have signed another co-lending relationship in a 95 and 5% with an NBFC in Northern India and are in advanced stages of discussions with a few other large lenders that we expect to consummate in the next few weeks. In the next few years, we expect 20 to 30% of AUM to come from lending as a service, and successful scale-up of these relationships in coming years will significantly enhance profitability and capital efficiency for Dhanvarsha. Number two, on data intelligence and MoneyRabbit. As we gain substantial scale over the next few years, with an aim to acquire and service several million customers, it is imperative we have a more robust and smarter approach for disbursing loans, utilizing existing data, cross-sell, upsell, and leverage AI and technology to build modules that help both the traditional and fintech side of the business for highly profitable and sustainable growth along with utmost customer satisfaction. We are also intensifying our focus on fee businesses like cross-sell and syndication, which allow us to deepen our engagement with customers and increase monetization. All of this directly indicates how critical of a role data will play for our growth in coming days. Keeping this in mind, we have created a data science vertical, and to that end, we have hired an extremely senior resource as our Chief Data Science and Analytics Officer, who was awarded India's top 40 under 40 data scientists by Analytics India magazine. He joins us with almost a decade of experience in leading large-scale data science, actuarial science, and digital products assignments across the globe. In end December, we also launched our flagship digital asset, MoneyRabbit, which has so far seen over 368,000 downloads with more than 65,000 active users in less than 8 weeks. As you may know, MoneyRabbit is not just a micro-lending app, but an omni-channel embedded finance platform providing credit, health, and financial wellness for MSME and blue-collar workers, along with the ability to borrow, pay, invest, and save all from one app. The idea behind creating MoneyRabbit came to us from our learnings in the lending business, where many MSME borrowers are unaware or uneducated about credit wellness, due to which they fall into debt traps or borrow at rates where they have no control on the rate at which they borrow. MoneyRabbit is backed by an alternate data engine, which captures real-time data that is self-evolving, robust, and developed in-house by our passionate technology, data science, and risks analytics team. This engine, post getting access to data, captures accurate insights about consumer behavior, giving us an upper hand over bureau data, which is always backdated. We have also worked with credit bureau CRIF to backtest Dhanvarsha's personal loan portfolio and derive insights from CRIF market data to arrive at an appropriate non-judgmental scorecard for lending via MoneyRabbit. In the initial phase, we will do the majority of lending through a B2B2C approach with large partners to minimize risk and cost of customer acquisition. Along with lending and a wallet, our MVP in MoneyRabbit will be a credit health check tool. The biggest advantage of this service, along with other modules, is to provide an entire ecosystem for a consumer's credit health and financial wellness, along with the ability to borrow, pay, save, and invest. MoneyRabbit will also empower our users with multiple cashback and rewards, which will be featured and marketed systematically to increase daily app usage and stickiness. While Dhanvarsha will be the initial sponsor lending on MoneyRabbit's platform for the first few months, the idea is to open MoneyRabbit into a marketplace where multiple other sponsors can lend to millions of customers based on their risk appetite. Now on to the third large strategic objective on risk. Given the recently released RBI scale-based regulation for NBFCs, institutions in the base layer are expected to comply with the 90-plus day NPA recognition in a scaled manner until March 2026. We as an institution have taken a call to comply with this from September 2021 itself. Gross NPAs, excluding LAP loans for Dhanvarsha, would have been 1.32%, which were reported as 2.95%. This is a significant improvement for Dhanvarsha, where gross NPAs are down to 2.95% from 7.43% a year ago. We are making all efforts to recover on these legacy LAP loans, which comprise about 56% of the 2.93% gross NPAs. In recent months, we have also introduced several additional risk governance and policy measures to further monitor credit risks, like a risk appetite statement at entity level covering credit, liquidity, solvency, information security, and financial risks. The objective here is to establish common standards for management of various risks at portfolio level. rigorous reviews for instant portfolio, which is less than 6 months on book, and non-starter reviews, if any, including revised allocation of such infant cases to sales and credit, as opposed to earlier only with the collections teams are undertaken. These reviews have resulted in approximately 96% resolution in December and 90% resolution in January of these infant and non-starter cases. There is also increasing rigor in lab collection reviews to ensure that for all high-value cases exceeding 5 million, SARFAESI has been initiated, and the company has also started a practice for sending pre-SARFAESI notice for 60-plus day delinquent borrowers to put additional pressure and collect on these loans. Dhanvarsha has also established uniform criteria for assessing and onboarding all preferred sourcing partners approved by our credit committee, along with a standard review framework for quarterly review of partners post-onboarding. The company has also revamped the first loss default guarantee framework and SOP for invocation of FLDG to make it more effective. In terms of audit controls, we have put ample controls in place to give regular feedback to the field sales teams, as well as advising on branch operations and functioning. A branch control charter, as well as a branch control scorecard, is being put in place for objective assessment of branches. The risk team also monitors SBU and branch level profitability extremely diligently on a monthly basis with the management team for efficient capital allocation. Lastly, to make sure we meet our strategic objectives of a 5%+ ROA and serving millions of customers over the next few years, we have also deployed a cutting edge, fully integrated loan origination and management system to enable seamless onboarding, underwriting, servicing, risk monitoring, and on-time collections. With that, that's the end of our prepared remarks, and we'll open up the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. First question is from Sangam Ayer from Consilium Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. It's very unclear.
No, Sangam, your voice is not clear.
Okay. Is it clear now?
Mr. Ayer, may I request you to, if you're using your headset, if you can please take that off and speak.
Yes, sir. Hello, is it audible
now? Yes, this is much better. Yeah, please continue.
Okay. Yeah, hi. Thanks for the initial remarks and detailed presentation. Just wanted to understand two things. A, under the business model wherein, you are doing financing as a services and you have ties with the Central Bank of India, etc., how does the, if there is a default, Where do we have a recourse to the 80% of the book that Central Bank takes up, or how does it work over there?
So on the Central Bank of India relationship, these are loans that are backed by gold. If a loan defaults and it's past 90 days DPD, we have another 180 days to recover or replace on these loans and give back Central Bank of India the hurdle rate on their 80% invested amount.
Okay, so as a from a provisioning perspective, then you would have to take care of the 100% of the of the book for provision when you look at it from a standard provisioning perspective, right?
That is correct. That's based on the delinquency track record and our ability to collect on the loan. Again, these are 100% backed loans by gold and with an LTV of less than 70%.
Got it. How does the business work when, it's not a gold-backed loan? I mean, would you be extending this kind of services for loans wherein it's not a collateral-backed like gold, etc.?
So usually in a co-lending relationship where you have a majority partner for a business loan product, for instance, that is completely unsecured. Most large lenders insist on a cash first loss default guarantee. We have not entered into any such relationship.
Fair point. Got it. And lastly, in when you spoke about the Money Rabbit, going kind of becoming a platform for lending for something similar to maybe like a Policy Bazaar for insurance policies, etc. How would this work? When you want to create it as a platform, so you would be selling the data part of it over here, or sharing the data with all the banks, or how would the onboarding happen? Because you would be creating a marketplace, right? So what's the thought process there?
So the thought process is to convert it into a marketplace over a period of time. The entire curation of a loan application along with the credit score, along with all the intelligence on the customer would be provided to a potential partner through API integration, and they would lend based on their risk appetite. Obviously, there would be a hurdle rate that would be provided to the lending partner. We would get a spread from the lending yield for the loan that is given to a customer.
So what kind of tie-ups or partnerships you would have to take up here? Credit, because creating the database for that would take some time, before we can lease out our data bank to customers for mining. So in the interim period, what kind of databases would you have to tie up with or dip into in order to make sure that the credibility of the platform is in hand?
Sure. So at this point in the initial phase, what we are doing in Money Rabbit is a B2B2C approach. So we have tied up with payroll aggregators and other aggregators where they have access to large databases of customers. And the idea to lend through all the data intelligence that they have through an API integration with us is it will be a very risk mitigated approach to lend to these customers, because there's a lot of data that already rests with these aggregators on the customers. And the idea for us is to minimize risk. We are a company that's always focused on the bottom line. So it's not only about the growth, it's always about risk-adjusted growth.
Got it. I think I'm in a very bad signal area. So maybe I'll drop out and come back in the queue. Yeah, thanks for your answer.
Thank you.
Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Next question is from the line of Vishal Mehta from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand on the co-lending piece, are there any more arrangements in work, and what kind of arrangements are in work? If you can just highlight, and what can we expect going ahead? How many such co-lending relationships which you guys would love to work on?
Sure. Thank you, Vishal. So the co-lending relationships at this point in time are fairly active for us. We are in active discussions with two large banks and with two other NBFCs as well. So that is something that we are paying a lot of attention to. Our teams are fully bolstered and geared up to cater towards these relationships. And hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll be able to give you more color on who these lenders are and what is the potential size of these partnerships.
Sure. So can one assume that are these discussions are in some advanced stages, or they're just very preliminary discussions?
No, these are at fairly advanced stages.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may enter star and one. Our next question is on the line of Devesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Devesh, your line is unmuted. You may go ahead with your question. As there is no response from the line of the current questioner, We will move to our next participant. That's Mr. Ankit Patel from Maybank. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rohan. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Just I had a follow-up question from one of the earlier participants. In your lending as a service business, you have highlighted you will have a three vertical: gold loan, MSME loan, and personal loan. Are this all the loans going to be asset-backed, or it will be or gold-backed, or MSME and personal loan, or it will be basically pure personal loan as well, unsecured personal loan?
So in lending as a service, the majority of what will be there will be loans that are backed by gold. On the business loan category, we are in discussion with one lender, which is separate to the four lenders that we spoke about. For personal loans, the idea is about Money Rabbit, how that evolves into a marketplace. So that's lending as a service as well. But the majority of it will be backed by gold.
Got it. And does that lending as a service ties into your digital business as well? And if you can elaborate a little bit how Money Rabbit, we get it, how Dhan Setu plays a role in this as well, that will be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Ankit, Karan here. So on the Dhan Setu piece, we conceptualized it as a one-stop shop onboarding platform for all the channel partners that we do business with. This is not just restricted to the feet on street that we have in-house, which include our relationship managers, branch managers, etc., but including all the small and large DSAs and other channel partners that we work with throughout the country. So what we are trying to do now in terms of digitization of the core traditional business is to even onboard partners who can help us source not just the traditional business loan product, which is fairly common, but also start generating gold loan clients for us. Because as you would also be aware, traditionally the gold loan business has typically been a BT or balance transfer driven business. We are trying to do something interesting in this space where we are trying to generate new clients from channel partners who have traditionally not sourced the gold loan product, simply by making it easy for them through this digital platform called Dhan Setu. So it is at the last stages of finalization now in terms of the bug ironing out, etc. And by the quarter ending March 31st, it will be completely live and we will be able to onboard the partners and clients across the board, pan-India, for both the core products which Rohan mentioned, which is gold loans and business loans. So personal loans will be a small aspect of the business, largely restricted to Money Rabbit as of now.
Got it. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Ankit.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sarthak, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So I just wanted to understand that, like, if you look at YOY and QOQ gross NPA or net NPA, they're actually increasing. So could you comment on the fact, like, why is this happening and what are we doing, the collection efforts that we are doing to reduce this?
So if you look at it on a year-over-year number, the reason it looks higher at 2.93% versus 2.35% is because a year ago it was a 180-plus day recognition norm versus a 90-plus day recognition norm. So if you actually look at our presentation, we have disclosed both the numbers. If you look at the 90-plus day from a year ago, it is much higher in the 7% range. So there's been a significant improvement actually in the gross and the net NPAs both. If you look at it on a quarter-over-quarter basis, it is roughly flattish. If you look at our numbers as well, this quarter was slightly lower in terms of AUM growth because the churn on a lot of the loan products was fairly high. Plus, the company made a conscious call as well, as we disclosed in the presentation. In November and December, we went slightly slower on disbursements and we were sitting on a good amount of liquidity because the market became a little competitive and we did not want to take down pricing. That's number one. Number two is also because of the Omicron scare, we took down unsecured business loan lending from a risk mitigation standpoint. There is no other reason otherwise. From a collection standpoint, November and December were slightly lower on the core traditional business loan unsecured product because of Omicron. That has since returned to normal now. And number two is, if you look at the collection efficiency on gold and the preferred sourcing partnerships, there the collection efficiency is pretty high, well north of 95% on the preferred sourcing partnership and well north of 100% on the gold loan product.
Okay, so basically just accounting problems, like other than the overall reporting. And if you could give a guidance on what you're expecting this number to be in FY20 maybe?
So in FY23, we would not like to give any formal guidance, but obviously the endeavor for us is to keep gross NPAs below 3%. Over here, what's important to note as well is depending on the success we get with resolution on some of the LAP accounts, we could see an improvement in gross NPAs, because 55% of the NPAs right now in the gross NPA bucket come from 8 LAP loans specifically. So any resolution around that would help get this number to much below 3%.
Okay, that's great. So just one more question. If you could elaborate a little bit more on the digital platform of ours, that is the MoneyRabbit, like how much of our business is being generated from traditional vis-a-vis digital channels, and how many users, like going forward, that we are targeting in right now, how many users do we have over here?
Sure. So at this point in time, we have close to 368,000 downloads, of which about 65,000 are active users who have completed the journey. About 36,000 are credit health tool subscribers. I think it's still fairly early days for MoneyRabbit in terms of its evolution, because we only launched the asset at the end of December. I don't think we would want to disclose everything at this point in time. We would present a detailed presentation when we announce full year results. There'll be some more traction on MoneyRabbit at that point in time. Furthermore, it's still fairly early. We would not like to disclose all details right now.
Okay, so not a problem. Thanks a lot for that. That was really
so great. What I forgot to answer your question in terms of how much business is being sourced through MoneyRabbit right now for Dhanvarsha, the answer is nothing. Not right now.
Okay, but then forward in the future, we are looking at a good number that is going to come from here.
So MoneyRabbit is a different engine altogether. In terms of the ticket size of lending and how much Dhanvarsha will contribute, that will largely be, as I mentioned, through a B2B2C lending acquisition channel for Dhanvarsha in the first few months before we open it up for B2C for other lenders to come and lend as well. So at this point in time, when we prepare our business plans for Dhanvarsha, there's not much accretion we are estimating for MoneyRabbit. That is an engine by itself, and we see significant upside over there. If it contributes to a good amount of Dhanvarsha volume, then that is over and above what we have in our business plan.
Okay. If possible, if I could squeeze in one more question.
Please.
So this is regarding the gold loans. Like I understand that we are going aggressive on gold loans. So can you give some insight on how we are combating against the bigger players in this category like Muthoot, and now we heard that similar NBFCs like Capri Global is also planning to go aggressively on this. So could you give a brief about the strategy over here, looking at the overall opportunity size as well going forward?
Sure. Hi, this is Karan here. So on the gold business piece, you have to tackle this challenge in two parts. One is, of course, a customer challenge, which is where we differentiate ourselves completely based on the quality and the level of service that we are offering our customers. So if you have the opportunity, we would like to encourage you to visit one of our branches so that you can actually see a physical manifestation of what we call the Gold Loans Experiential Center, as opposed to a branch, for the simple reason that unlike any of our competitors and peers, these are spacious 400-500 square foot locations. They are whitewashed and clean. We have a couch and a coffee table for our customers to sit. We make them comfortable. And it's not a cage-like atmosphere which you might see in some of the other competing brands in the market today. Secondly, the customer we service, so even today, about 90% of our client base makes an annual income of less than 5 lakh rupees. So these are small customers. They typically feel intimidated going into a large banking branch or anywhere where it is crowded, and they prefer having an atmosphere where someone can sit with them, explain the schemes to them, and make sure that they have a rapport with the person in the unit. So at a talent level is the second battle that we fight. where we truly differentiate ourselves in terms of the ownership and the opportunity we are providing our employees. So having started this business just about a year and a half ago, some of our existing branch managers have already made the progression to regional, given the scale at which we are growing. And some of the junior level staff have now graduated to becoming branch managers for some of the new locations and have done exceedingly well. So having this differentiated approach, both on the client servicing side and the experience side and the talent acquisition and retention side, we truly feel that that is what actually makes us a lender of choice, and which is why customers don't not borrow from us for, you know, maybe a 50-60 bips arbitrage, which they might get at another competing brand.
And just to add to what Karan mentioned as well, I'm sure if you've looked at the results of some of our competitors, what we had decided in the month of October as well is to, you know, step back and not compete at that aggressive pricing. I think that has placed us in good stead. While we had slightly slower disbursements in the quarter, we are more than happy because as an institution, we're extremely focused on the bottom line. And there is nothing that we would do to not make that bottom line by doing aggressive lending, by either diluting pricing or by diluting norms. We personally believe, given the results and given the commentary also by some of our competitors that are publicly disclosed, that the market now is a lot more rational, which is what we are seeing, just given the fact that aggressive growth has resulted in certain, you know, subpar earnings for them, as they have disclosed in their earnings results.
Okay, well, like I'll definitely try to have a visit at one of your branches. That's a good suggestion. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Devesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. We can
Sorry to interrupt, but this is a lot of background disturbance on the line. Just wanted to check, is your phone on speaker by any chance, or are you on headset?
I'm on earplugs, actually.
If you can please take it off and speak via normal method, sir, please.
Okay.
Yeah, is it audible now?
Yes, thank you very much. This is better. Please continue.
Yeah. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I had a couple of questions. We can see your interest rates coming down. So what is our credit rating currently, and by which rating agencies do we have rating?
Sure. So the yield on the portfolio at this point in time for the most recent quarter was 21.4%. We are currently rated BBB both by CARE and Infomerics.
Mr. Devish, does that answer your question?
Hello.
Yeah.
Coming to the second question, can you share what are the LTVs and yields in each product category?
Sure. So LTV now at this point in time is largely applicable to the gold loan segment only, considering that we aren't doing mortgages anymore. So on the gold loan product, as per RBI regulations, the LTV caps out at 75%. But effectively, the LTV on the ground is much lower for the simple reason that if a piece of jewelry is worth 100, typically about 15 to 20% is deducted as making charges. So the LTV applied is largely on the balance 80. So it makes it an LTV on ground of about 60% or so. And the way we manage to control risk as well is that we do not do bullet principal and interest schemes. We do 30, 60, 90 day interest schemes. So our customers are used to paying and servicing interest on a regular basis. And that helps us mitigate the LTV and margin risk as well, because, you know, even if gold prices are fluctuating a little bit, given the faster churn in this product and the fact that they are servicing interest regularly and the conservative LTV thrown in the mix, it makes the risk on the portfolio much lower for us.
Okay, that's it from my side. All the best for the next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Devesh.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jigar Shah from Maybank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and congrats for the good set of numbers. My question is, as you already mentioned, the December quarter was not as great, and we also saw the third wave. January also had a bit of an impact. So how are you seeing the situation now? Because it looks like things are coming very quickly back to normal. And given that we have got reasonable capital with us, what kind of quarterly run rate in the loan book can we achieve going into FY23?
Sure. Thank you, Devesh. So, you know, the December quarter was largely a conscious effort on part of management to slow down disbursement only because in the month of October, we saw that the gold loan business became extremely competitive. And number two was on the business loan product. Slowed down in early November because of the Omicron scare. Things are back to normal now. Even the gold loan market, what we are seeing, has become a lot more rational. So from a pricing standpoint, we are very comfortable with where we are. From a growth standpoint as well, it definitely will be a better quarter. We would not want to give formal guidance on what we would like to do on a monthly basis, but the infrastructure that we currently have, we can easily do between 40 to 50 crores a month. The question is at what pricing we would want to do that. So that will be based entirely on what management decides on the quantum of disbursement that we want to do on a monthly basis. In terms of capital, as you mentioned, we are very comfortable in terms of liquidity as well. At this point in time, we are sitting on undrawn sanctions of 50 plus crores. And we are sitting on existing liquidity, which is on our balance sheet of 40 plus crores. Furthermore, there are many additional sanctions that are in the pipeline that we expect to materialize in the month of February and March itself. So the idea for us has always been to be completely funded at least for one entire quarter in advance in the previous quarter. And given the situation right now with our liquidity and capital, we believe we'll have more than enough capital for the future quarters at that pace of disbursement.
Just one more point to ask. In terms of the NPLs, what you have now reported are based on 90 DPD. So that we should take as a steady state going forward with a scope to reduce it further, right?
Yes. So our goal is to keep gross NPAs below 3%. That is what we are seeing in the business. Obviously, if there's resolution of certain LAP loans, there should be a potential improvement as well. So the improvement in the LAP loans and resolution around that is a matter of timing. We would not like to give formal guidance on the timing, but obviously we are working very hard to make sure that we collect on these LAP loans in due course, which is fairly soon enough, so that these go out of the gross NPA bucket.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nirav Dalal from MIB Securities India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. First is, what percentage of our book would be driven by co-lenders and how do you see this book move going ahead?
So at this point in time, in terms of the co-lending relationship where we are the minority lender and we have a majority lender, we have a relationship with two lenders at this point in time. It's still fairly small because that started for us in the month of August 2021. But as I disclosed in the remarks ahead, over the next few years, we expect that to be between 20 to 30%, where between 80 to 95% will be contributed by larger lenders. We will do the sourcing, servicing, and collection on the loans, being a minority capital provider of between 5 and 20% and generate high IRR on that product.
Right. And The other question is, in terms of the cost of capital, how do you see it move now that we are we would be embarking on an increasing interest rate cycle?
Sure. So if you look at our cost of capital, if you look at what we disclosed in the presentation as well, the cost of sanctions for us over the last four quarters have come down 100 basis points. Given our liquidity situation today, given our capital, given the size that we are growing into as well, we actually believe that there is potential scope for us to take down our cost of capital as lenders get increasingly more and more comfort on us. We have over 21 lenders today, which is up from one lender over the last 2 years. So we actually have a peculiar situation where we believe that our cost of capital will come down over the course of the next one to 1.5 years.
So would this mean that we will be in a position to compete in a market with lower, keeping our NIM same and, you know, lowering our yields? Or do you see yields also increasing for us?
So one of the reasons why the NIM, which in this quarter came in at 7.2%, is because we carried a higher liquidity balance because we had slowed down disbursements from the previous quarter. That's the reason the NIM came down from 9% to 7.2%. We actually expect the NIM to go up now, given the fact that we will be doing more lending as a service business. Disbursements have returned to normal. And number three, the cost of funds should continue to go down. In terms of whether our cost of capital comes down and will we take yields down, I don't think there is a plan right now to take yields down. We actually price our loans based on the expected provisioning, cost of acquisition, etc. So we have a Dhanvarsha base rate internally in the system. And we don't expect there to be any kind of yield contraction, at least what we're seeing in the business right now. We actually expect the NIM to go up somewhat from here, given the fact that our cost of capital will come down, number one, and given the fact that lending as a service as well will pick up, which is a higher IRR product.
Got that. And just lastly, any guidance in terms of the increase in the number of branches that we are expecting over the next couple of years?
So, keeping in mind the third wave, we had obviously slowed down on the opening of branches over the last quarter or so. But that pace has picked up again, and typically, while opening of the unit is not a challenge, that has a two-week lead time to it. Onboarding the manpower, given, what one of the other participants also mentioned, competition in the sector, the challenge to get manpower on time is what actually makes us have to build a pipeline for a 3-4 month period on a rotational basis. So from March onwards, our endeavor will be to try and do at least about 2 to 3 new branches a month. And this will be spread across largely the existing markets we operate in, which are Madhya Pradesh, NCR, and Maharashtra/Goa.
One of the other things also to keep in mind while we open more branches is we have an extremely keen eye on profitability per branch. So there is an active portfolio monitoring that happens branch by branch level as well. And also with the increasing number of lenders that we will be doing lending as a service for, the branch profitability break-even is much faster. So traditionally, when we were opening branches earlier, the break-even per branch was about 6 to 8 months, depending on how fast the AUM gets built up. What we have seen in the most recent branches that we have opened with a co-lending partner is those branches will usually break even in 3 to 4 months.
Significantly
more accretive with the branch openings in the last vintage.
Got that. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Manish Modi from Maybank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick question on the tax. Your tax this quarter shows 1.2 million. And is it low because it's been averaged in the earlier quarter, or you're expecting some?
No, so yeah, thank you for that question. So what happened in the first fiscal quarter, which was the June quarter of this year, is we had an issuance of CCD, convertible notes, due to which a deferred tax expense gets created. So if you notice that first quarter, we had a profit before tax of about 1.78 crores, but we had a PAT only of about 8 lakhs. So that gets reversed every quarter subsequently for the next 6 quarters. So part of the lower tax in this quarter was because of the deferred tax expense getting reversed. This will now normalize, and you can expect a tax rate of between 25 and 30% for us going forward.
That's from Q4.
Yeah, and so if you look at the 9 months as well, the tax averages out, right? So if you add the tax for the last last 9 months, it's in that range.
Got it. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much. A reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. We would like to remind our participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit Kukreja from AGCO. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rohan. Again, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Maybe this is in your presentation and I may have missed it. Can you talk a little bit about which verticals within the lending space you've seen the most amount of growth from? Is it, the education, personal loans within the personal loans, business loans? Could you just give us a little bit of a breakup or where you're seeing the most amount of action from? Thanks.
Thank you, Abhijit. So the majority of the growth in the previous quarter and the quarter earlier also has come from the traditional gold loan product and the MSME business loan product. That is what Dhanvarsha as a lender will focus on going forward. Those are the two products predominantly that will occupy the majority of our loan growth. And those are the products as well that we will be serving for other large lenders as a lending as a service partner. In a higher IRR product for Dhanvarsha as we make our balance sheet a lot more capital efficient and our branches to break even much faster.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Juneja from Dhanvarsha Finvest Limited for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I think in conclusion, we'd just like to say that the three large strategic initiatives that we spoke about, which is serving as a lending as a service as a partner for larger lenders, building a very large database and data warehouse along with data science, for being one of the largest aggregators of data on the SME, MSME and blue collar workforce in India, having access to the data for more than millions of customers. That is number two. And the number three aspect on as we grow in size, robust risk management and internal control to have superior risk adjusted margins with sturdy asset quality is what we strive for. Please stay tuned for more updates as we grow along in size. Fiscal 23 will be an extremely important and profitable year for Dhanvarsha. So look forward to talking to everyone on the next earnings call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members of management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dhanvarsha Finvest Limited, that concludes today's conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.